Wire presents Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Your home for NASCAR in the Valley.
It's Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and Jason Hildebrand.
Welcome to the fastest hour in radio, live from the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. It's time to kick off the 13th year of Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air. Whether you're listening to us on the FM dial or the ESPN 101.3 app, thank you so much for making us a part of your day. On today's show, we'll hit all the off-season news that, that we can remember. Plus, this is probably my favorite NASCAR week because from today till Sunday, there is track activity that will all culminate Sunday with the running of the Great American Race, and it's back. Finish Line Radio NASCAR Fantasy League returns with a new format. Haven't even seen it yet. We'll look in.
You had one job
to get that out.
Well, I did get it out.
Oh, I didn't see it. Did you put it out on the socials?
I got it on Twitter. Oh. I sent the other stuff to America. She may have just blew it off.
America never blows it off. All right, we'll get you ready and much, much more on today's Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland.
What a great name to have during the Olympic season.
No
America.
Kidding. America.
Go America.
It's ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Scott has returned to his usual self of interrupting my intro.
Whenever possible. I feel like it's my role on the show.
Every time America comes in, she's on a board that I'm on. It's, I always kind of stand up and salute. It's kind of a joke. But I'm your host, Jamie Kyle, to my radio right. Well, how do you miss the first show? I mean, the thing is, he puts us in a bad scenario because we're both rusty at this stuff because we've been off for 3 months. And then he just leaves us to do it all by ourselves.
Have we been off?
Well, I mean,
I feel like I've talked to you more. Usually, it's dark.
Yes.
When the lights go out on the final show, it's dark.
Which is much appreciative.
Right. And I thoroughly enjoy it. Not this off season.
No.
We talk to you more this year than I usually do when we're on the show.
I know. And it was didn't feel like an off season. Kelly even said that today. She's like, you guys, like I said, I'm going to be a little rusty at this. And she's like, well, it's, you just, I mean, off season's
only
like 2 months.
Dude. Yeah. We just got finished with it.
So it's not like it's that big of a deal. But that's Super Producer Scott Webb. All right, couple of same sponsors. But listen, when you sponsor on this show, you grow. And some of these drivers, this will be the segment one. They'll probably need a prescription, definitely after Daytona. And lucky for them, Mouse Creek Pharmacy has grown so much they needed another location. That's right. The same great hometown service can be found at the newest location. And that's Georgetown Pharmacy. I bet you probably can't guess what road that's off of. You guessed it. Georgetown Road in Georgetown, Tennessee. So all of our listeners, all six of you in Georgetown, Tennessee, make sure you go by. And the post office over there beside it.
The numbers say we're great in Georgetown.
This is true. That's a solid point. So, but get away from that big box store and visit Mouse Creek or Georgetown Pharmacy today. All right, so let me jump into this real quick. Of course, the heater dud meter. This will be brought to you again by County Commissioner Mylon Blake, who says, don't be a dud. Make sure you vote in the Republican primary in May. And when you do, click reelect Mylon Blake as District 3 County Commissioner. I was doing pretty good. All right, so
outstanding start.
We should say the heater dud meter would go towards the NASCAR 2311 and Bob Jenkins.
Is it the heater dud meter because he's not here?
That too, yeah.
That's a dud.
That is a dud. And along with the court case that kept us talking throughout the whole off season, it seems like. But I did text you guys earlier, and I was like, "Hey, I don't even know, you know, what all came of the NASCAR 2311 because soon after that, if not right in the middle of the signing of the kind of an agreement, had a tragedy at Denny Hamlin's parents' house. So, Webb, you've got it pulled up. I know you were taking notes in the off season, and that's what you're looking at right now, not ChatGPT.
Give us the rundown. Just, pull up your local favorite AI and throw it in there because it's been a hot minute and so many things have happened, and we'll get into all that stuff a little bit later. But the settlement terms, they got about five or six outstanding days in court with a bunch of news and newsworthy things that took place, but eventually they decided they were going to come to terms. It looks like NASCAR has agreed to an evergreen or permanent charters for all Cup Series teams. Teams gained greater input in governance a larger share of the revenue streams and improve financial structural stability. 2311 and Front Row, both who were part of the lawsuit, were able to regain their charters in 2026, and they've all since signed the new deal. I think I saw that news break because I think they had a deadline sometime mid-January, mid to late January, and all yeah. Everybody's signed in, and then there was some other financial stuff. So, I think the main part of the lawsuit, or what 2311 was trying to get, was the just a little more stability and structure, and they wanted those charters to be permanent. That was a big hold up, and NASCAR fought for as long as they could, and my guess is they kind of did not like the direction of where the settlement, and from a court perspective, may go, and decided they would just, let's get together and let's see if we can knock out a solution. And the judge, I remember this distinctly, the judge told them they should have done this a long time ago. And the judge kind of threw him over the coals and said, this should have been taken care of well before we ever got to this point. But some big news out of that, some things that some text messages and stuff. I'm sure when we have a day to kind of reflect a little bit more, not as much news as in this particular show, we can talk about all that. But glad that all that is behind us, because it really started to cast a shadow on what was happening at the end of the year. And you did not want to start the biggest, kind of rebrand and things that they're trying to do this year by having that hanging over top of them. So they got all that behind them. I think both sides can claim some sort of victory.
Right.
And you just kind of say, okay, this is where we're at. We're going to press on and move on. And I think that's what happened.
I think you could say 2311 and Front Row can claim victory, because name me a time when somebody's went up against NASCAR and actually in a court setting been able to win. So they could claim victory. I think NASCAR doesn't necessarily claim defeat, but kind of just give in to a point to where they didn't have to claim defeat.
Right. Well, this organization has been very heavy-handed in how they've handled things over the course of several years. It's a family-run business, and they've kind of cultivated it into what it is today. But I think that at some point you have to, the situation has changed, and they've got to approach things from a different perspective. And I think that's what this lawsuit ended up getting. And hopefully it'll make the sport healthier as a whole as we move forward. That's the hope. We'll see what happens.
And one NASCAR executive out the door, and Steve O'Donnell.
He did not have a, all the court proceedings did not, favor him very fondly. So, some changes had to be made.
Definitely. And it just makes sense when you think about the TV deal, Scott, that we're getting ready to sign probably in a couple of years, is going to be way different than what we've signed historically, as far as with your just network stations. Now it's going to be possibly with some of these streaming channels like Netflix, Amazon, and they're going to pay a lot of money. And so that revenue is going to go way up. The teams just wanted a part of it. I hope at the end of the day that this improves or makes it more like a franchise type setting, as in the NFL, NBA, and
I think it's closer. I still don't think it's quite there yet, but I think it is a positive step in the right direction. We've said forever on this show that we would love to see this become kind of franchise based system, and
right.
While it's not quite there yet, I think it's as close as we've ever been, and I think that's good for the sport.
So soon after that, you had, of course, Denny Hamlin coming off the end of the year, which we chronicled on this show.
What a up and down
career
offseason.
Yeah, but just it probably the most down he had been, having the opportunity to win that championship and then kind of losing it at the end with a caution, and then gets out of that. Trying to recover from that, bounce back. He really didn't want to talk about. Didn't have any media. Didn't want to talk about it at all. Wasn't sure. You almost thought he wasn't sure if that's what he was going to do, his run the next year. He kind of answered that, and then when he did, the news broke that his parents' home caught fire, and Denny Hamlin's dad perished through that ordeal, and his mom is still recovering. So really tough for Denny Hamlin to have the championship end the way it did, then to go into the court proceedings and be able to get that worked out. kind of up on the on an upswing, and to your point, that kind of up and down off season, and then you lose your dad and almost lose your mom.
Yeah, just a lot of things. I mean, emotionally, you got to wonder what his focus is going to be like as we actually kind of look at the competitive racing side of this.
Right.
You know, you got to realize, you got to wonder, you know, where he is emotionally, and can he kind of recover, because we would say going into the season he's one of the favorites. He should have won a championship last year, and that drive I'm sure is still there, a little older but still very capable of winning it. And you know, to go through all the ups and downs that they went through this year, is it's going to be interesting to see how he starts the season, and if they can come out strong, they're going to have an opportunity to win. But I think it's going to be very keenly watching, you know, how this start of the season goes for them, to see if he is emotionally still invested in the sport and trying to go out and win a championship.
Absolutely. And then more breaking news after that. As you mentioned, in the offseason, we talked a lot, and we made a statement from Finish Line Radio regarding Greg Biffle, who lost his life in a plane crash, along with his wife and his daughter, I believe, and then a couple of friends. And there's been a lot of speculation, and we're not going to get into speculation about who was flying the plane or anything like that. We don't care. All we know is that we lost a really good NASCAR driver who, in his retired life, became a really good humanitarian with hurricane efforts and stuff like that he's done. And you just hate to see something like this, Scott, with somebody who's done really well, you know, as far as from the humanitarian side. It seemed like, you know, you can't get into who's, you know, husband, wife stuff and all that. It just is what it is. But had a young family and just suddenly taken out. And you feel for, you know, his ex-wife, the mom of his child.
Right. A guy that had, you know, as a driver, and I don't think I'm going out on a limb here, probably not one of our favorite drivers.
Right.
But what he, how he transitioned into life post-racing,
right,
and the things that he was involved in, and the way he, especially with the hurricane efforts, that he was a major part of, to kind of make that transition and really turn people's perspective on him in a total 180 degrees, from a guy that didn't really care to watch him race, to turn in to see what he was able to accomplish post-racing, and then to tragically lose his life. Just another sad day in the sport, in a sport that we've seen several stars, you know, plane crashes, helicopter
Kawicki
crashes.
And Allison, first two.
Right. Run, right. So, I mean, it's just another, you know, not a black eye, but a dark moment for the sport to lose a guy that had such impact in people's lives. So just another one of those days where, in this off season, it would just seem like it was one thing right after another, and that was one of the bigger stories of the off season.
I think we'll hold on to the schedule change in the chase format for the second segment in News of the World of NASCAR. A couple things regarding drivers. One, a retired driver, Tony Stewart, coming back in another NASCAR-sanctioned event, going to be driving a truck at Daytona. If I'm one of the 28, 30 other truck drivers, I'm probably making sure that I don't have smoke in my mirror, literally.
Well, I mean, how exciting it is to have Tony back in NASCAR, even if it's just a one-off ride and running a truck. I think it's, you know, he meant so much to the sport. And, you know, when he stepped away, he really kind of stepped away.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're starting to see, you know, Carl Edwards, these type of guys that are starting to invest a little bit more in the current NASCAR format, situation, whatever you want to call it. So to see him back in the sport, I think, is nothing but a great thing. And I think there'll be a lot of eyes on the TV as he's out there running laps this week. It's just great to have him be involved in the sport.
And something that happened in the off season and just got cleared, I think, on Monday, Brad Keselowski broke his leg. These guys, you know, if I've got somebody under contract and paying them good money, and in this scenario,
here we go again.
Brad's kind of an owner. I'm probably saying, hey, look, if you get injured in the offseason, you better make sure you're back.
So is that Brad the owner talking to Brad the driver?
I'm just wondering. A conversation had to be had, and I'm sure there was a conversation in his head through that whole rehab process.
It's a little different than the Chase Elliott thing. Chase Elliott has a boss.
Yeah.
Brad Keselowski really does not have a boss, so he has other people that are co-owners of that organization as well. But, you know, these guys like, you know, especially these guys are just wired different.
Way different.
So when they get an opportunity, the off season is usually just about survival. Not go do something, you know, that's going to get yourself hurt. This was just a little skiing deal.
Two skiing deals. That's Chase Elliott and Keselowski.
So you know, but the good news is it happened far enough, long enough ago that he can get healthy enough. I don't know if healthy is the right word, but he's healthy enough to be in the car. And, you know, hopefully things go well this week and nothing else happens, because you got to know that, you know, you got a broke leg or whatever he has going on there. You're probably, your first time back in the car is probably not, you're not super excited that it's Daytona, but, you know, it is what it is. You don't miss Daytona.
The FCC doesn't listen to us, but he's walking around with his pimp cane this week. He's got he's got a cane he's walking with. So it's his gas foot. So hopefully... Well, I guess he's figured out that thing can go to the floor, because that's really all you got to do at Daytona. But you really worry about, in that scenario, him hurting it worse or re-injuring it.
Right. I mean, that's always the situation. I mean, Daytona is always a little bit of a crapshoot. So you want to try to survive that, because if you get injured there, then, you know, making the playoffs is going to be a little more difficult than it was in the past. So you don't want to you can't miss four races and find your way to make the playoffs. It's just too hard to do. A
couple more sponsor mentions before we go to break. Shock Finisher of the Week, still coming back with Paul Caldwell Paving and Grading. This is a locally owned for two generations, Caldwell Paving and Grading. They do roads, driveways, and with their own asphalt plant, they can do interstates as well. Give them a call, 423-336-3841. You'll be shocked how good they are. And then, look, we got to monitor now for cussing in the Victory Lane interview, because my church is the sponsor now. So that is Lakeview Community Church, and they're pastored by Eric and Lakin Golden. They meet Sundays 10:30, Sunday night small groups at 6 p.m. and Wednesdays at 7. For more information, you can go to lakeviewcommunity.church. And as always, want to thank WebIve Digital Marketing. Anything you see, like they posted today on Facebook and Twitter web, that looks halfway decent, that's done by WebIve. They can do the same for your business. Make all your postings on social media look very professional. And we didn't even have to call sometimes. And then they come up with the whole Throwback Thursdays.
I didn't even realize that America had posted stuff about the Clash last week.
Yeah.
I wasn't even paying attention to the Clash. But there she was. She got it right out there for us. So
she can do that for you too. WebIve.com. All right, news in the world of NASCAR. We'll talk about it in just a second.
Buckle up and hang on. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Pull those straps tight. It's time for more Finish Line Radio on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. I guess I don't know if it's heated and cooled. One of those by Dale's Heating and Air.
Just depends on the day this week.
Appreciate Dale and Dale's Heating and Air coming back. You can give him a call here in Cleveland, 423-509-8787. Or do like Scott and I do, just call dales.com. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. Jason Hildebrand, well, he just said, you boys take it from here. I'll be back next week. So that's where we are. So new sponsor here, News in the World of NASCAR, is brought to you by Bradley Veterinarian Hospital. BVH is a locally owned veterinarian hospital that will see animals from as small as your puppy to livestock on your farm. With over 50 years of service and 5 highly trained veterinarians, they live in the town they work in. This could be your last stop for all your veterinary needs. I've trusted them with my dogs for over 40 years. You can too. Give them a call at 423-479-2051 or visit their website, bradleyvet.com, to make your appointment today. All right, a couple things recapping from the offseason. Had a schedule change. No more Roval. I know you're kind of fired up about that.
Yeah, I have no desire. If we're going to have a road course in the playoff, Let's not do a fake one.
Yeah.
Give me Watkins Glen. Give
or
me
Sonoma
some.
With green grass.
No kidding. Just no no fake ones. So I'm glad to see the Roval gone.
Yeah, and I was just trying to think if there was any other because we do a lot of research here before we come in and do our show.
Tons of research.
I was trying to think if there's.
I was
any
diving
other.
Through the show notes last night while I was watching the Olympics.
Shocker! You read it first time of the year. I mean, first of the year. I guess the only time you do it.
That's a fabrication. I did not even look at it.
But I was trying to think if there's any more changes. I really kind of wanted to see. Some of the stuff that we've talked about. I know they shifted the championship races back at Homestead. I feel like they're
can you really even call it a championship race, or is it just the final race of the year with the new format?
With the new format. Way to go into it, Scott. But I would say this. There's a reason we left Homestead to begin with. I know
why.
I think
the reason was financial. I think because of all the money they'd poured into Phoenix, they wanted to have the championship race at Phoenix the last couple of years, and whatever. If you want to have Phoenix in the, you make the schedule, you own the track.
Yeah, both of them.
Yeah, so if you want to put them in the chase, or that's up to you. But I don't think it was there wasn't a racing reason they left
right
Homestead. I think it was financial.
So then let's talk about this real quick. We had the clash last week or 2 weeks ago. North Carolina
shouldn't have been on snowmobiles. Wouldn't that have been better if it had just been a snowmobile? They just would have left all the snow in the stands and on the track and just had them out there doing hot laps and snowmobiles.
Why not just cancel it? I mean, at the end of the day, I know you had sponsors to appease and stuff like that with Cookout, but at the end of the day, putting it on a Wednesday night just wasn't going to work.
Let me throw this at you. Is it time for, and I've heard a lot of this talk, is it time for it to just go back to Daytona? And be
well. You know, they changed it at Daytona because it was at Daytona, and then it went to Daytona Road Course.
Yeah, I don't.
And then we went, took off to somewhere else.
I don't like. It's a preseason race, For me, it would be, especially now that I'm have to do a fantasy lineup each week. It would have been great to be able to see some cars out on the track at Daytona before I had to make my picks.
But didn't it used to be, Scott, that it was kind of a showcase of what you were going to see? Because there was new sponsors, new cars, and all that, and we kind of tuned in for Daytona. I'm talking late 80s, early 90s.
Because we were excited to see Daytona.
Yeah, we also wanted to see who was driving this car and the sponsor and what's it look like and color changes. I don't think that's there now because of social media, and they post that throughout the year. But I just don't – I mean – The luster of it has been gone. If you did it kind of as an exhibition, kind of race just for fun to have out there and go. Go to Daytona and wreck
cars.
When
was the last time you were genuinely excited about the Clash?
I'm excited about it every year just because I know that's NASCAR season's coming back. And I also know I had that seasonal depression. Where when it's 5 o'clock at night and it's dark and it's freezing freaking cold.
No, that's no joke.
I'm out. So I know that when NASCAR comes back that heat's right around the corner along with longer days. So, I think, it nothing about it says, man, I cannot wait to sit down and watch this race. The only thing to me that I think is, hey, NASCAR's back. Let's see what's going on.
I don't know. I thought the first year they were at the Coliseum.
That was cool.
That was kind of cool because it was different.
They made it a party.
Yeah. But then they went back the next year and I was like, kind of seen this.
Yeah.
I don't. The Bowman Gray, I thought there was nothing wrong with it last year. I thought it was fine.
But you take the chance of it being in mid-January.
But when you're racing in North Carolina in January, you may get 10 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So. Now, I don't know.
If they went stadium series kind of deal for that and did a different stadium every year, I could get in on that. But you would have to West Coast that because you'd face the same challenges you face here. But the one thing about Bowman Gray and the Coliseum is it's just too small. The racing there is –
for these cars are too small.
Correct.
It just doesn't work.
No, get a half mile if you want to do that and rock and roll. Go somewhere that's
could they,
different.
This is wild, but they haven't even started construction yet. But if they redo California,
yes, half mile, yes,
do a half mile track out there, would that be that to me makes a lot of sense because even if you don't put them back on the schedule, then that's a NASCAR facility
that people will go to.
That people will go to because you don't race in Southern California. I mean, this year they're racing in Southern California at the Navy base, but in general, you're not. That's not a regular stop. So if it's not going to be, you know, but they got to build the thing first, right? And they have not put one piece of concrete up for that yet.
And
so,
you're almost guaranteed good weather.
I think that would make more sense, and it would be, you know, you got to remember too. Now the Super Bowl is moving back a week next year,
right?
So that's going to bump everything back. So now you're getting into late February because Daytona will be a week later. Thank you, NASCAR. So we don't have to see each other for a week.
No kidding.
Later than we have in the past. But I think that's a possibility because it would be an actual NASCAR track. But outside of that, like going to any of these short tracks throughout the country, while they have big names, you know, they could go to Bakersfield.
Right.
But it doesn't have the facility, and the cars are not designed to run on those tracks. So if you're going to run the actual NASCAR car, I think it needs to be at a NASCAR track. If not, then I don't need to see it. I'm done with all that other stuff. If they're not going to go to Daytona, if they're not going to do something maybe out in California, then let's just start it this week and go.
All right. So we took off from the playoff sudden death kind of atmosphere and has taken it back to the chase. Now, here's the thing on that. The chase is the chase, right? It allows.
I had lots of things to say a couple weeks ago.
Sixteen drivers, right? I think is what we've got in. Nobody is eliminated. You're everybody's in.
Start to finish.
Last race. So I think the way NASCAR unveiled that was kind of a media or maybe a the fans can't revolt when Dale Jr., Mark Martin, all those guys
they brought
are
out
there.
All the big guns for that.
They
release,
did, and look, maybe it with that kind of input from all those guys and then some of the current drivers or whatever. You had Dale Earnhardt and Chase Elliott on that panel, and those are your last two most popular drivers. So I'm interested to see how it works. I think it's going to kill some of the TV intrigue. So
what if Kyle Larson's
dominant
wins in eight races?
Sure.
And they're just out there doing laps the last two
weeks.
That's
the thing I would want them to be able to control. Like, there's no possible way, even if you win, you're not going to do that now in this day and time with these cars being so competitive where you're not going to go and just dominate. But it also puts it where if you do have a Kyle Larson that runs well, but you've got a Chase Elliott that runs consistent.
Everybody, here's the thing, Jamie. Everybody that was celebrating this must not remember half of the Jimmy Johnson championships that were over by 7-8 races in. He just went out there and dominated the field. It was over. So it really didn't feel like a playoff. It was just the race to a number, and Jimmy would just always get to a number that was literally not beatable.
So they tried the old Winston Cup where Dale Earnhardt would do the same thing and all those guys would do the same thing. And then the playoffs, all they've done is just take that and put it right back in the middle.
Right. That's why, I get it. If you want to do a format like they've done the last few years and have a one race finish, I think the hybrid approach of this would have been a three race championship between a smaller number of teams.
Right.
Whittle it down. You got to be in the top four or the top six, to get to the three race series championship, and then you're still doing an average finish or average points of, combined together over three races. That's kind of a mix of both formats that I think I would have been pretty excited about, because then you have some leeway in seven races to go out there and have a bad race and still rebound and still make it into the final six.
But
or
it also
whatever.
Takes away the luck of winning that last one or the bad luck like Denny Hamlin had.
Right. And the win and in and all that stuff's gone. So we went from a heavy dose of winning being important. And I think we've had this conversation,
right,
especially about a certain road course ringer.
Yeah.
So that no longer applies anymore.
Right.
It's just where you're at in points at the I guess it's at the end of the Daytona race.
Yeah.
Still the same cutoff. And then all 16 of those drivers are alive for the rest of the playoffs.
Yep.
Some of those guys, we'll probably see it again this year. Some of those guys after about 4 weeks are just going to be afterthoughts. You're only going to be talking about eight guys anyway. So I don't know. I thought I was really excited that they were really going to try something different and maybe use that hybrid model that we've talked about
they
quite a bit.
They took the easy road, though.
But they took the easy road. And now part of that, I think, is if you kind of watch what they've been doing, it's been a really a rebranding, trying to tap back into 20, 25 years ago. Yeah. You know, look at some of the commercials. They had a billboard in New York City that they broke the sound record with, had an engine hooked up to it or something that happened this week. So I think they're trying to go back and grab some of the people they've lost in their roots, but I still think they could have done something a little bit different with the championship to at least provide some intrigue down the stretch. And there still may be.
Right.
There still may be tons of intrigue down the stretch. But this is opening the door to that final race at Homestead that we're always so excited about, literally not meaning anything.
Yeah.
And that's the risk I just wish they wouldn't have taken.
All right. Our returning sponsor for the NASCAR Cup Point Standings, which we'll have your first next week, is Bree Maya with Krylock Realtors. Whether you're selling your home or buying your dream home, you need a realtor you can trust. Bree is the realtor I trust, and you should too. Give her a call at 1-269-598-6243 today. Normally, I'd say Scott Webb, take it away, but hey.
Not this week,
baby. Scott Webb, take us to break. We'll be right back with more on Daytona, and we'll get you ready for the fantasy, whatever. I'm out now. We'll be back.
Got you covered. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. The green flag is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio, cooled by Dale's Heating and Air, Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb, and the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. First edition out of what we think is 48, probably less, but it seems like 48.
Oh, jeez.
Seems like we did four over the offseason. All right, it's time to move to your next race, and in life, your next race may be buying a new home or moving an aging family member into their new home. Boundless Moving and Storage can move you to whatever your next race in life is. For more information, go to boundlessmoving.com or give them a call, 423-763-1000. We'll go ahead and jump into the schedule here real quick. And this week's schedule is brought to you by a new sponsor, my buddy Jonathan Porter. He's my neighbor, Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter's Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveways, sidewalks, and foundations and pool decks for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project. Scott, you've messed me up here. I'm going to have to read this. I'm going to have to read it again. Here we go. Normally you do front and back. Let's try it again. All right. This week's schedule. This is what happens on the first show. This week's schedule is brought to you by Porter Concrete. Jonathan Porter and his family have been concreting driveways, sidewalks, foundations, and pool decks for many years. Finding the right person to handle your concrete project is important. I've trusted Porter Concrete for all my concrete needs. You can trust him with yours, whether it's commercial, residential, large or small. They do them all. Give them a call. That'd be Jonathan at 423-596-0740. Listen, I mean, we need to go do that segment over again. I completely botched the whole thing. So, all right, let's move into the schedule at Daytona. This is kind of crazy, Webb. We've got Wednesday tonight, FS1. You've got, today you had 10 a.m. Cup practice, 8:15 tonight.
Man, I have no idea what happened.
I am super excited about the 8:15 tonight because I'll be watching that at the Cup practice. And then ARCA tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
Tomorrow night I will be watching because that's the duels.
FS1 on, let's see, that'll be, yeah. So this is still Thursday, the truck practice race day, and then the Cup duels. Will be tomorrow, and there'll be 60. I guess those are 60 laps apiece.
Yep.
Friday, you've got 1:30 the ARCA race or ARCA qualifying. Let me start over here. 3 o'clock FS1 truck qualifying. You got all kinds of stuff going on. FS1 Cup practice at 5:35. Then the truck race Friday night, and that is going to be 20, 20, and 60. Will be the stages. That'll be at 7:30 Saturday. Let's see. CW app for. the I want to call it Xfinity, but it's not that anymore, is it?
It's the
Bush. Is it back to Bush?
No, it's the.
That is another thing we missed.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll say the old Xfinity series will be practice or qualifying will be at 10 a.m. ARCA race at noon, and that'll be on Fox. FS1 Cup practice at 3 o'clock, and then at 5 o'clock on the CW. Is it O'Reilly's? Because it's OR. But it's the O, be Xfinity, old Xfinity, and that, those stages will be 30, 30, and 60. Scott normally does back in front, and he has done... you know, all front, which is great. And then Sunday, 12:30 race day. Here we go. 2:30 cup practice. That baby hopefully will end at night. Or I'm sorry, the cup race at 2:30.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Yeah, the O'Reilly Auto Parts series was in your new Xfinity series. That'll take a few. Cup 65, 65, and 70, the Great American Race. And that will be on Fox. So no football to compete with. It'll be the Daytona 500 on Sunday. And you'll have some Olympics if you want to go watch that kind of stuff over on NBC. All right, so Daytona, first race of the year, usually ends up one or two ways with not much action as far as wrecks go, and they ride around the top, or there's a lot of carnage out on the track. I'm not sure what it's going to look like this year. I feel like I'm going to go with the first statement I made, is there's going to be a lot of riding around trying to figure things out.
Yeah, generally. Usually one of the two duels is exciting, and then it's usually the first one. And then the second one, everybody goes, no, we're not doing any of that. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully it gets a little racy because, I mean, when there's trophies on the line and stuff, those guys usually the last few laps. It won't be as wild or as crazy as Sunday, but it should be pretty exciting. So just looking forward to seeing the cars on the track. New cars, new drivers, new color schemes, all that stuff. So it should be pretty exciting.
I don't know if you guys saw it, but Joey Logano, I guess, lost his hair sponsorship with whatever he had.
Yeah, he took it a little tight, didn't he?
He's ball-headed now, but he is someone you can definitely watch out for, or have to definitely watch out for at Daytona. Our partners at MRN, which is our partners again, we really appreciate it. We'll probably have Alex on next week, but they do interviews each week for us, and they asked Joey, does the morning of the Daytona 500 feel different than other race weekends?
Yeah, it's the Great American Race. You get one shot a year at this thing, and there's no other race like it. The only other race that was, to me, similar or even more pressure was when you were in the championship four and you're racing for a championship. That's a whole different league. Now, the biggest race of the year is the Daytona 500 again, and for everybody. And that, you got one shot at it. You know what it, I mean, as somebody that's won it, you know what it means to win it. You know what that impact, how big it is. Yeah, you want to, it's a different morning, right? There's more on the line.
2025 NASCAR Cup Series champion Kyle Larson was asked, what would meaning a Daytona 500 mean to you? I think MRN messed up, too. It's the first time.
It's everybody. We got to get back in the rhythm.
Let's go with what would winning a Daytona 500 mean to you? Here's what he said.
It's hard to answer it until you, like, do it and experience what that feeling is like. Because I think, you know, like right now or in the past, I'd be like, oh, you know, it'd be great to win the Daytona 500. It's a huge race, but there's a lot of luck that goes into it. So I feel like that might – you know, take away some of the feel of it. But then when hopefully I win someday, I think it's going to be a huge feeling. So then I think that will elevate it to, so I think reality to what you might think it might be like would be skewed. So hopefully I can win and you can ask me where it ranks. But right now it's hard to tell you.
And finally, Bubba Wallace was asked, what is your confidence level heading into the Daytona 500 this year?
You know, I'm confident that we can win it this year, for sure. That's the one that circled. We obviously won the duel, and the 500 didn't work out the way that we intended it to last year, but we had a lot of speed. And then obviously coming off our last speedway race at Talladega this past year, super close to winning that. So, yeah, we just got to put all the pieces together, put ourselves in the right spot at the right time, and just stay out of everybody else's mess. So genuinely, confidently, looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely. So, Scott, what's your feeling right before the Great American Race? It's always something I look forward to. On Sunday.
To me, it's almost like the unofficial of the winter doldrums are over.
Yeah.
Not quite spring yet, at least not in our area, but it kind of hints that spring's just around the corner. So it's always great, especially, you know, this is a great sports month with everything that's going on. Just finished the Super Bowl. We're in the middle of the Olympics, a lot of stuff going on there. And then to have, now I got to find time to fit some NASCAR in this week. So couldn't be more excited about the start of the year.
Absolutely. All right, we need to go to break. When we come back, we'll give you our first fantasy lineup right after this.
The caution is out. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air on ESPN Cleveland 101.3. Fantasy isn't just for football. It's fantasy racing time on Finish Line Radio. Sponsored by Cleveland Aqua Tigers on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.
Welcome back to Finish Line Radio. Cooled by Dale's Heating and Air. Jamie Kyle, Scott Webb in the Dwayne Williams Memorial Studios. And it's time for the Rick Cart Memorial Fantasy Standings. And those are brought to you by the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. Did you know Cleveland has a summer and a year-round swim team? Well, they actually do, and that's why it's a perfect sponsor for our show, because they race. If your kiddo wants to race or just be involved in a team sport, check out cat.swimtopia.com for more information. I want to take a quick second to really thank some of our sponsors this year. We've, of course, got Mouse Creek Pharmacy and Georgetown Pharmacy, Mylon Blake, County Commissioner, Caldwell Paving and Grading. Always appreciate those guys. Lakeview Community Church is a new sponsor of ours, and Bradley Veterinarian Hospital, new sponsor as well. So everybody's seeing what kind of value we're bringing as far as every week after week, getting your name mentioned. Also Bree Maya, she's a great realtor. We enjoy having her as a sponsor. Boundless Moving and Storage, Matt Carlson, great dude, great small business. That's one thing that we try to make sure we do on this show is really highlight small businesses. Jonathan Porter with Porter Concrete, the guy's owned it forever, and he does a great job. Like I said, I don't put anybody on here that I don't trust to do work at my house, and he's done all of my concrete work at my house. So really, really just pumped to have them on board this year. And then, of course, the Cleveland Aqua Tigers. So really setting out to be a good year as far as what we're going to do here on the show. And you know, we never want it to be work, Webb. It's always just we want it to kind of be fun. And you know,
if it was work, I would have quit a long time ago.
Absolutely. I'd have quit in the offseason because I'd have had to talk to you too much. So let's jump into the fantasy standings. If you are the fantasy lineup, if you go into fantasygames.nascar.com, Scott's got it for you.
Yep, fantasygames.nascar.com. You can search for the Rick Cartledge Memorial Finish Line Radio Fantasy League and join. You can go ahead and join our league. It's a public league. Anybody can join in. Then you just make your picks each week. Make sure you get them in there before the start of the race. Five drivers, one garage driver. Then they'll have some head-to-heads in there each week that you'll kind of pick. So pretty easy to do. It's fantasygames.nascar.com, and then just search for Rick Cartledge Memorial
Fantasy Standings
Finish Line Radio Fantasy.
It's a long one.
It is a long one.
All right. What's not long is the format, which I like. It's very clean in comparison to last year, so NASCAR's done a good job.
Big update on the fantasy stuff on the website.
So it's all a crapshoot here in what you do at Daytona, but I'm going with Kyle Busch, Bubba Wallace, Chris Buescher, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., Austin Cindric. In my garage, I've got the one-footed Brad Keselowski. The featured matchups, which are worth 10 points each, just like last year. I've got Larson over Hamlin, Blaney over Byron, Bush over Elliott, and Priest over Bubba Wallace. If you gamble, a great bet would be William Byron. Hot pick would be Ryan Blaney. Use caution for Kyle Larson, and use caution for Tyler Reddick, and a sleeper, Mr. Chase Briscoe. Listen, if you have a gambling problem, stop. Scott Webb, what you got?
Well, first of all, I can't get over this Ryan Blaney with this big, ginormous mustache that he has. I got Ryan Blaney, William Byron, Austin Cindric, Bubba Wallace, and Ricky Stenhouse Jr. Kyle Busch is in my garage. Big year for Busch. See if they can rebound and make some things happen. I've got Hamlin over Larson, Blaney over Byron, Busch over Elliott, Bubba Wallace over Ryan Preece, And that's it.
That is all. My lineup. All right. Well, man, listen, we made it. We made it through the first show of the year. Heater leaves us out to dry over here, having to struggle through the whole thing. Looking forward to having him back next week and getting his thoughts on some things, and especially
should be a fun. I mean, I'm excited. I mean, it's generally this is the biggest race. This is the Super Bowl of the sport, the biggest race of the year.
With no halftime shows.
Not touching that one. But you know, it should be it. Anytime you're at a super speedway, it's a great race, and this race just means so much to these guys. You know, being able to see it in person 3 or 4 years ago was really one of the highlights of my sporting life, being able to see something in person. And you know, should be, you know, weather the other day, I didn't check today, but the Friday and Saturday look great. Sunday looks a little sketchy, so hopefully the weather will hold off and we don't want to start the year off with no weather delays or anything like that, but hopefully they'll be able to get the race in. Got lights so they can run, you know, they'll get that race in hopefully on Sunday. But just excited to get the season underway, and it should be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it.
Absolutely. Make sure you tune in next week as we'll recap Daytona and we'll get you ready for Hot Atlanta, which won't be so hot in February. But at least we'll have a good race down there. For Scott Webb, I'm Jamie Kyle. Thanks for listening to another edition of Finish Line Radio.
Don't forget to follow Finish Line Radio on Twitter at Finish Line Radio. Finish Line Radio, presented by Dale's Heating and Air
on ESPN Cleveland 101.3.